What?
The moment we've all been waiting for a month. CPI data. Hot or not, or who really cares? Oracle blows it out of the water. ONON on the opposite end of things. As I said, CPI at 8:30. Red Dog at 8:35. It's a Tuesday. It's pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right, good morning, traders and investors. We carried through on that strong close and the Oracle earnings up 10 and a half handles, 51.96 and a quarter. The buck down a nickel, 102.80. Bonds up just under a half a point, trying to get over 122. Crude down 14 cents at 77.79. Gold down 10.30 at 21.78.30 after a $150 run. Silver in the red by almost a dime at 24.62. Bitcoin, this is called flat here, hovering at 72,600. Let's bring in Triple D here. And Triple D, I mean, don't you just like, I'm just so fired up today. I mean, daylight savings, who cares about it? I got up at 5:30 today. I hit the pool one day. I'm all adjusted for that daylight savings. How you doing?
I don't know. You figure it all out how to adjust. I cannot adjust. Maybe I should just move to Arizona because they don't adjust for daylight savings time. And I don't adjust well here either. So normally I get up at 6:30, get to my desk like 6:33 because of my long commute. And today I was lying in bed. It's like 7:15. I was like, I can't get out of bed. It's so early. It's dark outside. I can't get out of bed. And then finally, I roll out of bed at 7:30, which is my normal time, 6:30. So I have not adjusted whatsoever yet. It doesn't even matter if I go to bed early. I just don't adjust. I'm still on old time. I don't adjust well.
All right, let's bring in young AB. He probably, I mean, he stays out all night anyways partying, so it probably doesn't make any difference. I mean, the bar time. I mean, what time are the bars closed in Detroit now? 2, 3?
I wouldn't know. I'm never there that late, Joel. Come on, don't throw me under the bus like that. No, it is. I mean, depending on where you are here in Detroit, it is interesting here moving up here because it's so far west, but in the Eastern time zone. That
yes.
it stays light till like past 9 p.m. in the summer. But yeah, certainly like when my alarm goes off now in the morning at 6:30 and it's dark out, it's a little bit harder to get out of bed, but it makes it easier, you know, coming to this chat here in the audience. Have to do it, right?
Okay. Let's talk. What do you want to talk about? Oracle?
Get into Oracle. That was our big earnings last night. Company reported EPS of $1.41, beat the $1.38 estimate. Sales slight miss came in at $13.3 billion. It says missed the $13.306 billion, but basically in line there. And wouldn't you know it, the company talked about its growing demand for AI, and the market likes that. Anytime you can prove that you're an AI play that's getting better, you know, revenue and stuff from it. As long as it's not, you know, just a buzzword you're saying, you have to prove that it's impacting earnings, the AI, then the market's going to reward you. That's what you're seeing today. Stock trading up, really not giving anything up after this pop last night.
I mean, this is what they do now. They're mentioning AI, but they're taking it a step further, Joel. The companies don't just want to mention AI in their conference call. They want to mention NVIDIA in their conference call, because last night they hinted, no official announcement, but they said next week they intend to announce a joint venture with NVIDIA. And the stock was trading up already. It had good numbers, but this was during the call. It was around 125. And they said that, and then it blasted off another $5. So, I mean, the magic word is AI, but the real magic word is NVIDIA. You say you're doing something with NVIDIA, and they pop the stock. So, Oracle, it's a big pop. I'm still long Oracle in the long-term portfolio. It's a good one. It's been a good one. I bought on the last earnings dip, held half of it through this report, so pretty happy that I did that. Uh-huh. And, yeah, so we got Oracle with a pop.
I can't really tell you where to buy it. That would have been yesterday, but I'm pretty comfortable in saying that whoever was this 125 seller, 126, 127 seller, this was back in April of 2023, then again in September, October, late summer last year. Well, they've changed their target to 130 to 131. That's your potential resistance here. You popped up to the 130-50 area on four different occasions on the 15-minute chart. So if you're buying this thing off the open, you're just like, today's going to 150 today, you better make sure you get a sustained 130 bid. Take out that pre-market high and keep the bidders coming because, I don't know. This is one of the biggest moves on the upside I've ever seen for Oracle. Let's see if we find any profit takers.
It's going to be very hard to give price predictions on the first part of this show because we have the CPI number coming out, and that is going to affect everything, even Oracle. So not that Oracle is going to go red, but, you know, we get a hot number. Everything's going to get, you know, down, you know, a couple down 1% from where we are. If the number is light, I mean, away we go and the party continues. Obviously, what's going to matter the most is DLT and IWM. So just, you know, that back to that tangent, you know, that's the cloud over the first 30 minutes of this show.
Yeah. And once we get a little closer, I will give my, our preview for the CPI numbers real quick, Dennis, just because you mentioned, you know, you don't just want to mention AI, you want to mention NVIDIA. You know what I've started doing recently?
What's that?
So I was going through, NVIDIA has, and here I can share my screen real quick. NVIDIA has its own, it's got a bunch of different Twitter accounts or X.com accounts, whatever you want to call it. But it's got this healthcare, NVIDIA healthcare account. And I've just been going through its tweets and seeing what companies are using NVIDIA. So like this recent one from, they posted on March 4th. And this Twitter account doesn't have that many followers, by the way, but Medtronic brings an edge computing platform to healthcare and it's using NVIDIA. I'm like, maybe I should just go out and buy Medtronic, right? Any company that's using NVIDIA right now, you might get
if they mention it in a press release, it's going to pop 10, like 5% just because they mentioned NVIDIA. How many stocks are going to pop in the next like 3 months because they mentioned NVIDIA? How many? Because everybody's going to start doing this here. Dozens, maybe dozens. In the next 3 months, one every couple days, probably every few days. I mean, this is a point. So maybe you should look. Yeah, what's new? You know, where is NVIDIA working here? Because those stocks are going to pop. But just think about this when you're shorting NVIDIA here. It has so much power that any company that even mentions that they're working with them, the market is popping, you know, like 2, 3, 4%. The smaller companies, they're popping them even more than that. Think about that when you're coming out here and saying NVIDIA is a big bubble. We're going to short this thing. It's going back to 300 or 400. Just think about what else is happening around you. I still believe, and I haven't sold any of my NVIDIA. You know, you thought maybe I did on the Q reversal. I thought about lightening up near when it got near 1,000. If it would have got near 1,000, maybe I would have. It only got up to 964. But I think like we're still early innings here. Like you haven't seen a lot of companies even announcing deals with NVIDIA here. Like they're going to have deals everywhere. And to your point here, Aaron, this healthcare stuff, I was reading an article last night and they were talking about the pie here and they were saying, you know, there's going to be billions of dollars in revenue just from, you know, the healthcare sector alone in AI. So, and NVIDIA's only got a little piece of that right now. You know, as it continues to go, the possibilities for revenue growth for NVIDIA is everywhere. Every industry could be affected by AI. Everything. Construction. You know, just like traditional stuff. It's very hard to find that long-term bear case here besides saying, oh, the margins are going to come on, a competition's going to come, and, you know, this is going to be, you know, like just another bubble. If you believe that AI is real, NVIDIA is in the pole position. And I don't think they're giving it up anytime soon.
AB, I think you hit on a good thing there. I think with the AI, I think that health related, I think that is going to be related. I mean, you have like that, the drugs and, you know, people are losing their weights, but, you know, there's ways to keep it off. And that's why in the back of my mind, I just think that, you know, Apple abandoned the, you know, the car and they're talking AI now. I just think, and why I wouldn't be short Apple is because, man, I think that they're just working on something in the healthcare. They already are. you know, with the watch. You mentioned the thing with your heartbeat and everything. I just think just that the technology and the AI, what better use could you put to it than improving people's health besides, you know, taking drugs? And there's a lot of things. So a lot of people want to go off that those drugs. And if they go off those drugs, they go boom, boom, boom. They go right back up. So I
that's,
think that's
no secret, Joel, that Apple's been working in healthcare for a long time. I don't think people view NVIDIA as a healthcare play. I think they do view Apple, you know, as potential revenue getting from that. So that's what, you know, the point I think AB was making here, and, you know, bring it back to this and, you know, just reading stuff on this and just looking, maybe I should just go buy Medtronic. I mean, it sounds silly when you say that, but you know what? That strategy actually holds water here right now. Mm-hmm. Figuring out which companies are probably going to announce deals with NVIDIA and getting ahead of that is a hell of a strategy. If you've got the, you know, if you know the industries well enough and you can start to figure out, well, this is probably going to, you know, announce a deal, or they're talking about over here and the market isn't paying attention to it. I mean, there's big money to be made from the market not paying attention to stuff.
All right, well, let's one quick other, you know, earnings recap before we get into some of our top headlines for the day. On reported this morning. It was more like off for the stock. EPS came in at 6 cents, missed the 11 cent estimate. Sales came in at around 505 million, missed the 510 million. Company reported some guidance that the market didn't really agree with. Stock getting clobbered this morning, down 12%. You might love the shoes, but just because you love the product doesn't mean the stock's going to do great. The stock has been doing really well, but Joel and I were talking before, and it seems like every single time this thing gets into the 30s, there's a sell-off, and it gets punished back to the 20s.
Well, we covered it yesterday in the preview of the earnings, and we talked about it's got the high valuation. We compared it to Crocs, you know, it's worth more than Crocs. It was as of yesterday. And I mean, you know, you look at the PE and you think, well, they got to blow it away. The current PE is 122. But the forward projected PE was only 37 because they were projected. Well, they just missed earnings and the sales were light. You cannot do that. If you're a growth story, to your point, AB, you absolutely cannot. This is an absolutely disastrous report if you are playing this from the long side and you're looking at this as, you know, a huge growth story. Sales miss? This is supposed to be a growth story. We're projecting forward earnings out of only PE of 37, and you're losing money here again. So now that forward PE gets the little, you know, not applicable sign because you're losing money here again. 122, and, you know, on the previous quarter of the PE, it's a nosebleed valuation. So they need to have the growth. And man, I don't know if there's adjustments or what that is, but I'm shocked. You know, I would have thought for sure they're beat. I do not think they're going to miss on sales. That's a problem.
We talked about this. I've been following this stock. I think it's for Michael over at premarketprep.com. It just seems like every time this thing gets into 30 handle, and I mean, I'm going back now, historical precedents here since early 2022. When you were almost at the $40 area, but even going more recency bias here, I mean, it just doesn't like the 30 handle, and it filled the gap here, I believe, from an earnings report a couple days ago. Now, if you find a trading range, this what's the pre-market low? It did dip to 27.50. Boy, oh boy, that's in this area. So I think you're off the pre-market low. Use that as a target on the downside. We'll see if buyers come in and protect it. And eventually it could come back lower end and fill the lower end of the range from yesterday. That'd be a gap fill at 33. But look at the price action after the last gap down. So don't know if you want to be rushing out and buying this one. And someone stole my line here because I'm going to say, you know, they just need to put NVIDIA chips in her shoes is what they need.
Oh, yeah. To
do. Yeah.
A deal with NVIDIA. NVIDIA, yeah, chip shoes. That sounds good. Yeah. I don't know why Lay's doesn't get a deal with NVIDIA. You know, chips and the chips.
Chips and
like if you were like, I mean, also going into this report, you look for like clues from other things. After the Foot Locker report, I mean, you know, could you be real comfortable holding this thing into the report?
I don't know if it's a shoe thing, though. Like, I'm just shocked at this report. And, you know, to, you know, Bill's point, stock was up 25%. So the bar was already high. Even if they beat, They had to beat by a margin. You can't flat out miss and miss. I have no idea what happened here. Something happened here because
have
this is supposed to be, you know,
shoes?
The big growth. What do you think, AB?
Have you guys tried these shoes? Like, do you guys own a pair? No.
No. Have you? Me and Joel. We own our. What kind of shoes do you wear, AB?
Nikes, pretty much exclusively. Nikes. I'm like a big. The one thing about me is I'm a big like brand loyalist. Like, I basically picked that I liked Nike more than, you know, Adidas when I was like 13, and I just haven't looked back. Like, if you have me, then you have me, right? I'm gonna be a customer for life, basically.
How much is a pair of these shoes?
Oh. Like $200. They're expensive.
Ooh, now that's
$200 shoes. $200. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Go ahead.
You'll never see me in a $200 pair of shoes. I'm cheap. You know, like I went into story. So I went into Canadian Tire. If you've ever been to Canada, there, it's like big, you know, big store. It's obviously specializes in fixing up cars, mechanic shop, but they've got the big, like almost like, you know, department store, like Walmart. They sell all kinds of cool stuff in there. Anyways, they had these discounted shoes right on the rack when I went in. They were down to $29 a pair. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a 12 right there. You know, I'm a size 12. I'm like, wow, $29. I'm like, my shoes, I'll wear those. So I just threw them in the cart and I wear those shoes. So anyways, I buy the shoes and I had them sitting on the shelf for like a month. We were planning like a road trip to Toronto, go see some dinosaurs as the kids and stuff. And we, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear my new shoes. So I take the shoes out of the box and I put them on. And then Laura's like, you're going to wear new shoes? We're going to be walking around all day. I was like, yeah, you know, it'll be okay. Anyways, I'm wearing those $29 shoes around the dinosaur land, and I'm like, my feet hurt so much. Like, they are just killing me. On the drive home, I actually took off my left shoe and just drove with just the one shoe on because my feet were hurting so much. So maybe, just maybe, I need to stop being that cheap. Moral of the story is don't buy the $29 pair of discounted shoes. They're discounted for a reason. They were absolutely awful.
Dennis,
and I'm probably never wearing them again. One time use only.
Dennis, have you never heard that you don't want to be cheap on anything that separates you from the ground? So that's shoes, shoes, tires, and your bed. The three
is
things.
Is this a
that
segue
separate
to Boeing?
Yeah.
No, but just hold on. Hold on, Dennis. I want you to re-listen to the show because when you were talking about your $29 pair of shoes and that you went to Toronto, before you said anything, I put in the chat, hurt his feet. I put that in the chat before you even said that.
You knew it. You knew the $29 pair of shoes were going to hurt my feet.
Yeah.
Right. Any Hokas, $29 pair of shoes is going to hurt
your
Hokas. Feet.
I got a pair of Hokas that I like. And yeah, when I'm in the gym, I got a pair of New Balance. I wear those.
Those are good.
But I was Nike forever. And I don't know. I just, you know, I figured I tried. So I'm kind of, you know, I've diversified my tennis shoe portfolio. But man, back in the day, man, I wore Puma, I wore Adidas, you know. But right now, I'm just sticking with
Yeah, and there have been other shoes recently. That, you know, I've seen people like New Balances are like making a comeback among young people.
I have a pair of New Balance. They're good.
Yeah,
I'm with the New Balance.
So there's
I'm
a lot of competition in this space. There's a lot of competition. My thing is that I just feel like with shoes, you have such a defined market size, right? You invest in something like NVIDIA, AI, you have this like huge growth potential. Only so many shoes are going to sell in a year, right? People can only buy so many pairs of shoes. So I'd rather go with something that has a little bit less of a ceiling. But let's move on. Another quick earnings we had just because we talked about it yesterday. Asana reported negative EPS of 4 cents, beat by 6 cents, revenue of 171 million, beat by 3 million guidance. Not great. Although again, you had that slight double beat. Stock is trading down slightly 54 cents, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you own as many shares as Dustin Moskovitz does, 54 cents, probably, you know, multiplied out by millions and millions ends up being a decent chunk of change. But we just, cause we mentioned this one yesterday, I don't know how much time we need to spend on this.
Does he use Asana? I went back to it again yesterday. And I'm puzzled by it. I mean, it just must be me. I don't know if it's good for organization. I don't know what the
stock.
I mean, look at this weekly chart. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we should ban it from the show or whatever. It's been in a trading range, 17 to 20 for the whole year. So we're not at 17 yet.
All right, let's go from Asana to our big news of the day. That's, of course, in the airline space. Ooh. You're seeing some serious weakness there after Southwest reported earnings this morning. All right, let's start with Boeing. Boeing down another 1.5% this morning. So Southwest basically said it was going to be limiting its capacity this year based on Boeing's weakness. There was a whistleblower from Boeing who was found dead. I don't really know what's going on there.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, you didn't hear about this story, Joel?
No.
So I guess one of the whistleblowers that like testified against Boeing, parent suicide. So seems like some weird stuff going on here. But either way, the bad news train for Boeing just will not stop.
And it spread to all the other airlines all of a sudden.
Well, they reported
RUV guiding down, blaming Boeing.
Right.
I mean, this stock, and we talked about it yesterday through the 200. We're like, it better reclaim it, quickly here and get back up over 200 because this is a serious technical breakdown. It's not even a technical breakdown. It's a technical breakdown in the airplanes too. Because yesterday, you weren't paying attention to your Twitter timeline. They had some plane. Where was it? That was falling from the sky. Went to a nosedive because all the gauges just quit working. And then, the gauges started working again, and then the airplane corrected itself. I'm like, what's going on? You got doors blowing off. You got tires falling off. You got gauges stop working. Eventually, one of these things is going to end in a disaster. Fix the planes. They obviously can't. If you're buying the stock, you are buying trash right now. I'm going to call it trash because they got to figure out how to fix this stuff. Joel, you were talking about Boeing here too. You're going to fly.
Yeah, I just got to I if there's one stock that I would not own in the entire universe of the world of stocks, it would be Boeing.
Me too.
And then the other thing, which I said on the pre-market show, I'm flying next week and I've never done this before. But I checked to see what kind of plane I'm on.
I don't blame you.
Literally, I look to see, and I'm on an Airbus. And Delta, we fly Delta out here out of the Motor City. And I was so happy to see Airbus. I mean, it's just, I don't know. This has been going on. We show the long-term chart.
Too long.
It's just been going on. Figure it out, Boeing. Years. Figure it out.
Yeah, this is an issue here. And they can keep blaming, they're blaming, the parts provider. Oh, no, they're blaming, somebody else that was putting it together. Keep passing the blame around, but it's your planes that are losing their parts. I mean, we cannot be in the air and having gauges just stop all of a sudden. Have some backup gauges, whatever you need to do. Can't have planes and nosedives. You're starting to scare everyone here. LUV is obviously concerned here as well. And this is concerning. And the chart is concerning too. This chart does not look good. Its stock is cheap. People can cite, to the PE is cheap for a reason because there's problems here. They need to figure out these problems. Where is the PE on this puppy now? And obviously they used to make a lot more money, but it's come down. Well, it's still 57 on the forward basis because they're not making the kind of money they were. But I mean, there's a head and shoulders happening. Everything just sets up, well for the short side on this stock, to be honest with you. So what's the next headline going to be? Just imagine a headline. Imagine that they have something. This actually happens and a plane crashes. What is
we have precedent? We have precedent for
10-15% that day. I mean, they need to fix these planes. I don't want to see that happen. This is why it's pissing me and Joel off because we don't want to see people die. You got lucky. The door blows off, nobody dies, or whatever. The window blows out, nobody dies. You got the gauges all stop working. Plane goes in a nosedive. They pull out, nobody dies. The wheel falls off, nobody dies. One of these times, some people are going to die. I mean, we need to fix these planes. We don't want people to die. Boeing, this is terrible.
Yeah, I love getting hit on this. This is such a huge move for LUV. Historically, I don't know, maybe during COVID or whatever. Look at this big move down. Let's see what, it's under 32. If you want to be patient with this one, I know it's a big reaction, but a lot of, pretty good support under 30. Let's call it 29.50. and then coming back up. And I mean, they just come out and they told you bad news. They got bad news. They're cutting flights. They're going to be making less money. Next thing they're going to do, they're going to be laying off pilots. They're going to be laying off stewardesses. It's just bad. And you hate to see it. I mean, doesn't make you super rosy bullish like the travel sector. AAL, I don't know if this was related or not. They provide, you know, they're giving guidance on this one. That's not looking good. That's down 56 cents. DAL, I mean, they reaffirm guidance and they're still getting hit. So, man, tough sector to be in is the airlines.
It is. I own some AAL stock and I almost feel like just not owning any airlines because I'm too worried about a disaster now. I mean, and we never thought, when I fly, I never thought about the planes crashing. Never think about it. And they have. And for the most part, we have a lot of flights, you know, so, you know, most of them, you know, you have very high probability of being just fine on your plane, even if you're flying in a Boeing. But I just don't want to hear stories like this. I don't want to hear about this. And maybe it's social media and maybe it's not a big deal when the door blows off or the tire falls off. But it sounds like a big deal to me. And it sounds like a big deal to a lot of people. And it sounds like a big deal to Joel because he's checking what kind of plane he's flying on. And I guarantee you, he's not the only one checking that. People are going to start requesting not to fly on Boeing. That's a problem for Boeing. I agree.
Boycott. I bet you.
Apparently, that's 50 people injured in this nosedive incident yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but if something like that happened to me while I was on a plane, like I don't know where my head would be at while that nosedive is going on, but I would never, I don't think, get into a plane again. But like you said, Dennis, it is important to note that at the end of the day, flying, at least in the United States, has been super safe. You're probably, even in a Boeing,
going to be fine.
Safer in a Boeing than you are getting in your car. But at the end of the day, like, it's just not something we want to think about. The other thing that kind of worries me, you know, over the long term is like, I mean, we've been seeing weirder and weirder weather patterns. And like, that's something that I've thought about too, that like, what, you know, if there's some big storm that's out of the norm that, you know, they aren't expecting for or whatever. Like I'm not really an easy flyer to begin with. So I hate this news. But let's move on to our CPI preview. 3 minutes away, we've got CPI coming out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Like we mentioned, this will be the big market mover of the day. Basically no point in giving any price predictions or anything until we get this number. The core CPI is expected to come in at 0.3%, down from 0.4% in January. CPI year over year is expected to stay at 3.1%. Core CPI year over year is expected to drop from 3.9% to 3.7%. So the expectation, the bar is set that we should see lower inflation data for February than we did for January. And that kind of worries me that the bar is already set for lower, because then if it just comes in line, then okay, that's higher than expectations now. But either way, that's what the market is anticipating. Again, we're about 2 minutes away.
I'm going to go wide here in about 30 seconds. This is going to be a big market mover here. Again, we know if the number is hot, Katie bar the door, IWM is going to get hit the hardest. So obviously the stocks care the most, small caps, biotechs are going to care big time. Anything that borrows money cares. We don't want to see a hot number. We see a number that's light, then it's going to be buying all those stocks. So those are the ones that are going to be the most volatile. So look for your IWM to have the most volatility here. TLT is going to be your tell. Keep an eye on the TLT. Obviously, you know, that's indicative of long-term rates here. So keep an eye on that too. TLT starts tanking, it's going to take the IWM down with it. So keep an eye on that. If we have an inline number, then we're just going to get a lot of chop. So that's your scenarios, really. And I'm going in the background.
Uh-oh, Joel, we got you on mute.
Okay, so here's a technical setup. We are up for one reason and one reason only. Oracle, okay? Oracle has us up today. Pre-market high, 0.875. Pre-market low, just right where we went out in the last after-hours print. Potential support at the real closing price from yesterday, 85.75. which you didn't get to see yesterday. So let's see, pre-market high, minor resistance, not really a shorting point, but we'll see. We'll see the close at 85.75, and then we'll look at that pre-market high at 0.875. Opens up to the upside if you can clear that.
Uh-oh, hot.
It's hot, it's hot. Woo, super hot, smoking hot. Oh my gosh, we're not lowering rates ever again.
All right, waiting on these numbers to come in on my pro. But yeah, I mean, as you can tell by the market reaction, looks like we're for sure. All right, core CPI came in at came in month over month at 0.4% versus 0.3%. USA CPI for February came in at 0.4% versus 0.4%, estimated 0.3% prior. Year over year, 3.8% versus 3.7%, expected 3.9%. So it did dip year over year by 0.1%, but we were expecting it to dip 0.2%.
Okay.
So as you can see, not that hot, Joel, but like I mentioned when I gave the numbers, the expectations, I feel like, were when the expectation was for it to drop, it needs to show that it dropped, because then once it's in line, then you're above those expectations. I wish they would just sandbag a little and just say that the expectations were for higher than they were, and then when it comes in even slightly hotter than last month or whatever it is, at least it's below expectations. But how much are we getting clobbered here?
It was like you know, boom, hit first. That's what they did. They took it out, easily took out that closing price from yesterday, 85.75, got into the 51.70 handle. But just like the price action from yesterday, you had that early dip in the morning and the buyers came in. Buyers come in here once again at 76.25. Just below your daily pivot. So once again, market has found buyers here. Now the question is, you know, can we get back over 5,200 here? We were trading, always like to check where we were trading before the number. Before the number, we were trading at 51.97.75. We dropped 20 handles from there. That is a number you got to get back above this morning, folks. If you want to see us back in the 5,200. But right now, the mantra, buy the dip. There you go. There, so far, that has been it. So there we go. We're about up 8.25. As Dennis mentioned, he made a good point about Oracle. You know, that Oracle's Oracle. You know, Oracle had its news, had its out. That's maintaining. Now back in the 5,200 handle. Bonds took.
Oh, we're ripping
little
now, Joel.
Yeah, now we're ripping.
Can you lower your chart a little bit, because we can't see exactly where we bottomed there.
We bought right here. Well, you know what? Let me go to a little. Now we're back up at the pre-market high. Buy the dippers are reigning supreme here. So, anybody short in the hole? Here we go. So I'll go to the 15-minute. There's a 30-minute right there.
There we go. Beautiful. And I don't know exactly what's happening here, but sometimes what you'll see is you'll see those top-line numbers come in and the algos maybe start going based off those numbers. Okay, it was a little hot. But then once they start going into the actual like CPI report, depending on what it was driving inflation, can be seen as either more, you know, damning or not. So if it's certain things, you know, if it's energy, whatever it is, and I think core CPI is where the energy and housing's taken out of. But either way, once they start going into that inflation data, I've seen before where throughout the day, then they're like, okay, this isn't as bad as it looked like when we just got those top line numbers at 8:30. So I don't know if all that's happening in 3 minutes or if it's just that the bears didn't get as hot of a number as they were looking for, what it is. But either way, big dip there. You can see them coming in, buying the dip. We talked about it. Buy the dip seems like still working out a little bit.
Yeah. So what did what did Blue say yesterday? You know, I mean, slow and steady, right? You know, wins the race. And, you know, here, I mean, basically in line, they did the revisions. I mean, you know, does this take rates off the table? No. I mean, we're just stable for longer here. But just blindly buying the dip here, that's what worked out so far. We are now 30 handles off that pre-market low. We haven't taken out the pre-market high yet. That's at 5,208.75. But a lot of momentum here. Dennis said he likes to look at the TLT. That really didn't have much of a dip here. So the bond traders held strong there when the S&Ps were flying. And now I'm just looking at this TLT chart here. Wow, what an important level. You've got close to 101, back to 92. You're trying to get back half of this move. So if you were keeping your eye on the TLT there, I don't even know. I'll go to a shorter term chart. It looks like the bond guys barely budged on that one. Let's go back to the 30-minute chart here. Back firmly in the 5,200 handle. As I said, Oracle really doesn't care. That's still up $15. Let me get the pre-market trading action. Any more details to share on the CPI report?
Not yet. Waiting for some more details coming in. Of course, we'll get. Okay, let's see. So, yeah, I mean, it's hot, but not the, you know, super hot. So maybe if you're bullish, you're saying, okay, that's showing the signs that the economy is not slowing down yet. I guess you could spin it. But at the end of the day, and like you mentioned, Joel, what Blue talked about yesterday, at the end of the day, our future fund rates are higher than what inflation is right now, which is what, you know, the Fed wants to do. And if, you know, they look at this and say, okay, we need to make the future fund rates even higher than what inflation is to bring it down further. Okay, maybe. But I think, you know, unless we saw this number tick up in a more significant way, then I don't think the rate hikes are really on the table. I think all these slightly hot numbers mean really is just that the rate cuts are less likely. But unless, you know, until we see this number really, you know, shoot higher, I don't think we have to really worry about the rate hikes right now. So I guess that's the silver lining here, because if you're super bullish and you're super bullish, a lot of these AI names or small caps, whatever it is, you really wanted this number to come in lighter than expected. Obviously it didn't. But again, you're still not seeing like inflation going right back to where it was, but it's still higher than I think what most people are comfortable with, whether you're a consumer or an investor.
Okay. All right. People are mentioning here that, you know, it's quad witch week, right? Expiration. So you do get increased volatility with that. You did see the increased volatility on that number. They hit it and now boom. I mean, just an underneath demand, underneath bid in this market. I mean, people were just looking for that opportunity here. Now up 30 handles at 42.15. Going on the daily highs, holy mackerel, you're already through Monday's high. Boom, you got nothing in here. I'll just give you, if you want to post a new all-time closing high today, that came on Thursday at 52.33.50. So that is your all-time closing high. That's about 20 handles away, but out there and really, really good. Good price action. Bulls out there just resting bids on the hit. I mean, we were down there for like a nanosecond and then boom, cooler heads prevailed.
Don't we usually see, doesn't Powell usually give a press conference the day CPI comes out? I don't see that on my calendar today.
No.
I thought they usually field questions about, no, maybe not. Maybe, that, oh no, maybe no. That's just after decisions.
Yeah.
Right, you know, when they come out with the decision. It would be nice if he was on the, you know, if the press was out there being able to ask him some questions today about it, because I'd be curious to hear what he's saying about.
He says this. I mean, he's been saying the same thing, and I think this comes in pretty much in alignment. Now we do have a little different here. You know, usually you have the CPI and the PPI right next to each other, but for some reason they're doing the CPI today, and they're not doing the PPI until Thursday. They're doing the PPI along with retail sales on Thursday. But, you know, over the course of time, we really, you know, we know that it's the CPI that's been the primary number here. Is we are back up 25 and a half handles. Do we have T3 in the background yet?
Not yet. T3 should be joining soon. I did find this real quick on X. .com. This is from Bloomberg. This is just going to help us visualize the inflation a little bit. So this is the super core CPI. It breaks it down by the different kind of sectors where you're seeing the inflation come from. As you can see here, this orange bar is transportation services, accounts for more than 2% of that. So maybe these plane tickets going down after the Boeing news will help, you know, silver lining might help with the inflation next month. But you're seeing, again, transportation be the big driver there. Recreational services down here in the purple making up for more than 0.5. So that's another big one. Let's see. It looks like the other ones are all pretty mild. I mean, education down here and communication services in the blue. Water and sewer and trash collected services down in the yellow. So just going to help us visualize that. Again, you're seeing a lot of it in the transportation space, a lot of it in the recreational space. So yeah, we'll continue watching this inflation story, see if we get some more data there. We do have Red Dog, Mr. Scott Redler, hanging out backstage with us now. So if he gives us a thumbs up that he's ready to go, we'll go ahead and pull Scott on, see his thoughts on CPI and what's going on. He's ready. Let's bring Scott on. All right, Scott Redler from T3 Trading. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, look at that spooky background you got. Where are you joining us from?
I'm in some Russian bathhouse in Eastern Europe.
There you go.
Just, I have a bunch of backgrounds. You know, I do my 6:30 club every morning, so I have like 20 different backgrounds. So I just try and have some fun with it.
Yeah, got to keep it fresh. You're still doing your cold tubs and saunas and everything?
Yeah. Every morning. I did one this morning. Was up early. I actually got up a little bit earlier than normal, so I wanted to make sure I got my note out and my charts done prior to the CPI. But yeah, I thought I'd start the day, listen to a nice podcast, get my mind right, think about my positions, what I might do, if this, then that, and sweat it out in the sauna, do a nice plunge, quick shower. Then I'm in my office by 6:20, do a 6:30 club. And then I do about 40 charts, and then I usually settle down and get ready for the day. Or sometimes I get to talk to great guys like you or a bunch of different sites to try and update, kind of what's happening here.
All right. Well, we had CPI this morning, of course, biggest headline this morning. Did you watch the move? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a little bit of a head scratcher. I don't know. Like, I was on with a bunch of the individuals from the Alpha team, and I'm pretty risk down after Friday. I wasn't sure what to expect. And I guess at face value, it seemed a little hot, but then some were talking about like the hourly wages were a little lighter. And I just think there's a lot of hedging heading into it. There's a lot of sloppy trading right now. So, it's 8:42. I'm going to let the dust settle a little bit. If you put a chart up at the spies up, we're kind of in the middle of the range, right? So it's really not that compelling. We had the high of 518 on Friday, the low of 508 yesterday. We're above yesterday's high of 512-ish. It's 514-ish. I'm going to just let the dust settle. As of Friday, I was on the highs of my month, my quarter, my high water mark. We rode the AI semis really well. We caught nice moves in the small caps, the bios, gold, Bitcoin. So I'm like, I'm taking a step back here because I can do that as an active trader because I don't know, what kind of rotation we're going to have here. Everyone's talking about how, the laggards of the Mag 7 and get better. The leaders are going to consolidate. Money's going to go here, there. For me, I didn't feel that smart. So, I'm not short and fighting it, but I'm also, not all in long. I'm going to wait to see how we feel a little bit after the first hour of trading.
All right, and we're talking to Scott Redler again from T3 Trading. Scott's been coming on now a few times over the past couple months. Always great analysis, always great insights. And if you want to check out his free trading book, I threw that in the chat. Scott, do you mind telling us a little bit more about that book before we get into some other stocks?
Yeah, this is the Pro Earnings Gap Trading Book. Basically, gaps tell you a lot about stocks. They tell you about potential direction moving forward, especially post earnings. Like, usually you have some people take options into earnings. That's the only thing I ever do into earnings. Just so you know, one of my cardinal rules is you never take stock into earnings because you never know what's going to happen. If you think you know what's going to happen or you know what's going to happen, you're probably going to jail because that means you have inside information and no one has it. So what you should do is you take options into earnings. It could be calls, a call spread, puts, or put spreads. Never sell naked premium. So this way, if you're wrong, you lose a little bit, you stay involved, but if you don't want to play something, then post earnings, a gap could tell you a lot about how to think about something moving forward. For instance, like let's say Oracle today, right? If I could present Oracle, for instance, here. Okay. Let me press present.
You're stealing my next question, Scott. You're stealing my next question. I'm like, let's give them a live gap to go. Let's go. Let's see what you're going on this Oracle gap.
See, great minds think alike, don't they? all right, so let's go to my chart. Did it go to Oracle?
Yep, okay, we got it.
So first, you had this lower gap, right? This was the last time they missed, okay? And they had no power to keep it below. So that was one gap, okay? And then you had another gap, post-earnings, that kind of got filled to show that means nothing. So now moving forward, okay, which I just posted this chart, if you go to Oracle right now, if you look at the inside tip, it's up 14, right? So Oracle right now is at 128. So as an active trader, okay, if you took calls or a call spread into the print, you did well. I got to give Dan props from the Alpha team. He had a whole long strategy for Oracle. I wasn't interested. I didn't play. Okay, I missed it. I'll live. These guys played it and made good money. After hours, you could have played it through the gap, 117. It filled fast. I remember when it reported last night, right after, I'm like, there's a quick gap to fill to 124 and change. It did. And then I'm like, we got to listen for the conference call, which was very bullish, to see whether or not it could take out 126, 127. So now here's Oracle at 128. So if Oracle gets above and stays above for today, then you have a big gap. And then what you could do is you take today's low tomorrow, and you could be long that for a potential swing trade if it holds, because that means there's momentum, that means there's commitment, that means the institutions are there, and it could be a great trade post-earnings if you didn't take it into earnings. So for today, for Oracle, I think this 126, 128 is really important. That's exactly where it is. It's like the market makers know, you know, where they want to play with people. And then we see what happens from there. I can go over a lot of different other pro earnings gap plays that gave us really nice moves prior. You know, you could do, let's see.
Well, Scott, before you move on from that, okay. I just want to give, you know, just my perspective on this thing. And then, you know, you could, add comments on top of that. No, I mean, I just look at this thing. I mean, I look at the all-time high in June of 23 at 127.54. I looked at, you got up to this 127.50 area back in September, right? So to me, in that area, let's say above 25, 126, 127, you had institutional sellers, right? Institute that, the big boys, those are the one that puts in those kind of tops. Then you saw the stock tumble back up to $100. I mean, I just can't think about resistance in this thing today. I mean, you know, as far as getting up, to me, if this doesn't get up and take out the pre-market high today, I think you get to get this stock a lot cheaper. How are you looking at the pre-market action juxtaposed with the monthlies?
Well, you know, yeah, points of reference, like you said, okay, it was rejected in June at 127.50. Then it was rejected in September at 126. So there were sellers there. But now from 2023 all the way to, you know, March of 2024, I can't count, but that's like 2 years of consolidation. That means other institutions were accumulating that entire time, right? So they're accumulating that entire time. It wasn't ready to go through there. They had to absorb, you know, I think the last quarter wasn't great. And now all of a sudden, strong quarter, good guidance. So now if it gets and stays above that level, okay, all these people are now in profits. And then potentially this, the base of buyers will make money. So that level is really important. If it doesn't stay above it, then you know there's more supply there and it's just not ready to be prime time for additional gains. But this stock has not had a lot priced in because it's been in this range for so long. It's one thing if a stock has a major move prior to numbers, heading into the numbers, and then it, you know, chances are it's going to sell off no matter what. But when you have a channel like you have here from June of, you know, June 2023 to here, that's a long time. You could actually even go to the weekly chart and probably see it even a little bit better. You know, so here's a nice big channel in the weekly chart where it wasn't ready here, if you remember, because it went too far too fast, and then it wasn't even ready on this potential double top. But now we'll see, you know, is this going to be a huge gap where nobody's allowed to buy because it went through it? And can it now stay above this spot for additional gains, which I think for the market will be interesting, because if it doesn't, that's telling you that, hey, maybe there's no appetite for risk for big names like this to even make higher highs and continue, even with strong guy. And so that'll tell you, hey, maybe we're a little bit overbought in the overall in this season. It can't be a buyer and we come in. You know, if it gets above and stays above and goes, that could breed confidence that maybe other names that haven't quite made all-time highs this year, you know, have the possibility of doing so. So there's a lot of different ways to look at this. A, appetite for risk. B, you know, for potential cash flow, if you can stay above this now and continue.
Scott, I mean, yesterday and Friday, we had some of our leaders so far of the year kind of look like they're potentially running out of steam. Carvana, Celsius Holdings, some of these stocks with some gaps down. Are you, NVIDIA, SMCI, you name it, are you close to calling a top on some of these hottest names, or do you think these are just healthy pullbacks?
Well, you know, again, everyone loves a good call, right?
Right. That's why you're
Friday,
here.
Okay, well,
I'm kidding. I'm not putting you on the spot.
No. Do I think that NVIDIA made an all-time high on Friday or a generational high? No. But do I think that yesterday is a generational buying opportunity? I don't know. You look at the chart here, NVIDIA, a big bearish engulfing candle. But all I know is that means get out of the way. It's no longer a swing trade. Now we'll tactically make some cash flow here. And I did so yesterday. I didn't take it into today because I don't take stock into a binary event, which was the CPI. You know, if you look now, where is NVIDIA today? So NVIDIA is up 20 to 876. So it's not even at yesterday's high. You know, I think it's going to take time to rebuild. I think that there will be a time when this makes a new high. I just don't know how long. And I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't. And if I did tell you, you know, then you wouldn't have me on anymore because I'm talking trash. Bottom line is, if you look at SMCI, everyone called the top on that, right? SMCI on February 16th, because it came so far. It had a big bearish engulfing candle, took 2 days to decline, then it rebuilt, and then, hey, it made a new high by 130 points, and that was probably 3 weeks later. So this big candle led to a rest, not the high in the year. So you got to think, NVIDIA could do the same thing, but it needs to rebuild and take time, and you need to know how to approach it where, you know, you're not underwater, and you can handle the days and the weeks of trading if you're too big either which way.
Got it. And I mean, how would you, like, at what point, I see you're moving averages on here and whatnot, at what point are you hopping in and buying this back on the long side?
Well, I rented it yesterday for a trade. I didn't take it home because I wasn't sure that 841 with the doji close is going to be the low. We could have had a really hot CPI. This thing could have been down 20 points. I'm not looking to put this on as a swing trade right now. I'm looking to just day trade it until I see a bigger trend. We had a lot of swing trades on with this when it was here, when it broke above 505, when it was riding the 8-day up, or even post-earnings. Remember we talked about, you want to talk about a gap? Okay, so here's a pro-earnings gap right there. Took out 746. That was a big swing trade for us because we had defined risk. You could be long above 746. Then it stayed above the 8-day moving average all the way to Friday. So this was what you call a great swing trade. Right now, it's in price discovery phase. It's in, hey, you know, we're not sure what it's going to do. So as an active trader, you can't just say I'm going to be short or long here because it's not telling me enough yet. There's not enough price discovery. So there will be I will be trading it for a certain amount of time, and there'll be a time when, hey, I said, can this start a new active special sequence that's definable like it did on this day, which was February 22nd as of right now? You know, if you want to be long versus 830, 841, be my guest. That's your defined risk. For me, I'm not yet, and I'm just going to try and make money both ways. Who knows? It's opening up $20 today. We'll see if all of a sudden, you know, the futures come in and now they're like, oh, it was a hot CPI and it goes from green to red. That could happen too.
All right, we got time for about one more stock. I don't know if you've had time to chart this yet, but we had on report earnings this morning. Not great. You had a gap down there and on. What are your thoughts here?
My thoughts is, thank goodness we have a process, because I started to get long on cloud at 28. This was right here in February. Also bought $30 calls thinking it could have a pre-earnings move. Went to 35. I tweeted to the entire universe and to Portnoy, who I gave this play to at 28 because we were having a little bit of a fight, and he bought it. I bought it. We played options, went to 35 plus at 33 and a half. I said, I'm done with the stock. I don't take stock into earnings. I rolled up my calls from the 30s to the 33s, made over 100% on both. And then I said, you know what? If the report's going to be solid, I'll do a call spread. I did the 35, 39s, risking $1.25 to make 275. And it's wrong. I'm going to lose on that, which I only risked a third. I'm not in the stock. And at this point, I'm just going to let it play out. It's gapping down. The guidance wasn't great. And, you know, we'll see. Let it do some price discovery today. But it was just a play within 20 plays. And thank goodness we don't take stock into earnings and don't have predefined opinions. Because, again, if you thought you knew the earnings, chances are you're talking to people you shouldn't be talking to, and you probably go to jail over time. Well, that's so that's why we do options.
That's the process working out for you right there, not carrying it or not holding into earnings. I lied. We got time for one more quick one. Boeing. Do you have any charts on Boeing?
Boeing is a widowmaker. You know, it's just news. A door is going to blow off. A wheel is going to blow off. chart's been very, very broken. But again, this is the process. Look when it was above the 8-day moving average from November all the way here. That was when it was in a strong trend. That was when I guess the news flow was good. And then now it's been below it the entire time. And I don't think it's worth the time. Listen, in 2 years from now, will Boeing probably be another all-time high because it is a quality name and everyone needs these planes and they're going to fix their problems? Yes, but as an active trader, I would just avoid it. It could be strong one day and then come out with news that, you know, that the windshield blew off and all of a sudden it's down $15. There's easier things out there than playing Boeing, you know, as an active trader.
Well, there you go. Again, we've been on the line with Scott Redler from T3 Trading. He's got that free trading book. Go check it out. I'm throwing that link in the chat one more time for some more great insights from Scott. Scott, thank you as always for hopping on Pre-Market Prep with us this morning.
Thanks for having me. And I get, you know, I'll leave you with one more thing because you want sort of like, you know, a thought. A lot of people have been like kind of really, really negative on Apple, right? They've been saying Apple's done. The best days are behind it. They're not innovating. They're not this and not that. You know, I do think that, you know, the low that Apple made, you know, last week, you know, right here, this 168, could wind up being the low for the next few weeks. So I'm long a little Apple. I think you could put your stop in at 172 or 168, and we'll see if this starts a new active sequence into that June potential WWDC AI event, because everyone's saying it's over, but I just think it was a consolidation for a month, for a few months, and, you know, could wind up being a better place to be. I haven't been in Apple during the past 6 weeks, but just started looking at it a little bit closer. So maybe that's something, you know, that might be reacting better in the next few weeks.
There you go. Well, again, Scott, thanks for hopping on. We will catch up soon. Enjoy the rest of your trading day. Have a good Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Have a good one as well.
Thanks Scott. Guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, again, Scott Redler from T3 Trading. The link is in the chat for that free e-trading book if you want to go check out some more from Scott. Dennis, how we doing?
Wild. It's wild. So the initial flush, and I mean the algos just got killed on that. They saw a hot number. The algos hammered it, and they got absolutely slaughtered. And they buy the dip crowd just comes in, relentlessly comes in, overbuys it. You know, we just went down. I was watching IWM. The SPY action wasn't nearly as interesting as the IWM, but IWM went down over $1. Then it was up almost $2. Now it's come all the way back down. You're kind of in the middle of the range. So very fun trading, very fun to watch. I tried to buy the dip as well. I got a little bit of IWM at 204.35 on the dip, and I tried to buy more, and it just blasted off after that. It's like it felt like my bid just sent it flying, which obviously isn't the case. Sometimes you feel like that though. But it was a lot of volatility. Wow.
Dennis, you talk a lot about, you know, watching the TLT during that. Really, the TLT did not really budge while
no,
they were
it didn't. And that may have been a tell for the TLT wasn't tanking, TLT wasn't rallying. And that might be a tell for that this might just be a muted response overall. So the algos whip and whip, and then we may just settle in where we were. And maybe the TLT was the tell again because it really didn't move much. You know, we leaked a little bit. We leaked a little bit, which naturally you would think that would knock the IWM down. But you got this buy the dip mentality here that just is going to be hard to break. People are underinvested. Every time we get a dip, they're like, oh, thank you. I can get in some stocks here. They came in so fast, man. So fast on that dip. It was down there for less than like, it felt like it was down there for like 10 seconds.
It was
and, you know, and we were saying, you know, the number was a little, it was a tick hot. So, but it doesn't matter. They're just in there looking, then they analyze and they're like, so, but again, you know, to Scott's point, let the dust settle here a little bit because we're still in price discovery mode here. Exactly what Scott just said. We're chopping around here, trying to figure it out. TLT is not ripping on this. And that's telling you, I don't think I need to chase stocks here.
All right. Well, it is 8:59. We've got a minute left. Joel, who do we have coming on tomorrow?
We are going to talk hockey, and I really don't want to talk hockey because the Wings lost five in a row. Tim Seymour is coming on tomorrow. Folks, you had the pop, you had the drop. I'm going to go out and say I think the range is in for the day. I don't think you're going to get down and see that low. Maybe you'll test your pre-market high. We're $14 off that. Keep an eye on your pre-market levels. But that's it, man. Good trading action today. And I like to see us just, you know, I don't care if we go up, take out the pre-market high. But I just like to see it just settle in here, settle above 5,200, and live to fight another day on pre-market prep.
Any final thoughts for you, Dennis?
Chop. We're going to be choppy again. To Joel's point, I'd keep an eye on the TLT. As long as I don't see that start ripping or really selling off hard, I think it's going to be a lot of chop here. So right now, TLT muted response doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Like normally when you see, you know, if they're going to rip them higher, like the IWM and stuff, the TLT would have been up a buck. And then you're like, this is for real. Now the TLT, that's your lie detector test. It's like, didn't rally at all. So that whole rally that we just experienced was FOMO, people chasing, and it's fizzling out. It's fizzling out right now. So I don't think we're tanking here today because TLT isn't tanking either. I think we're just going to kind of chop around a bit. So I wouldn't chase. I don't think we're in the market where we need to chase. Like, let's give a perspective. We've come a long way.
Right,
do we need to jump in and chase? I'm not sure we do.
All right, well, there you go. We see a lot of different calls in the chat for people thinking which way the market's going to go today. We'll be following the action over on live trading starting up right now. This stream will redirect you there. Make sure to stay tuned. Smash the like and subscribe if you haven't already. And shout out to all the people watching on Twitter. Give us a follow on there or X or whatever you want to call it. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Tim Seymour, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll see you guys there.